That's where the word sprachna comes. And that's why they now translate the word sprachna as compassion and tender mercies. For us, sprachna means the highest expression of mercy, which is compassion. The other word, Elio, sometimes spelled E-L-E-E-O, means kindness, or translated as mercy. Now I want to see the 2 degrees that it flows in. Of course, the other word, sympatia, is less often used. It's found in Hebrews 10:34. But let's look at Matthew 18, in order to understand the usage of these two words. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, from verse 21 right up to verse 35. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. I'll summarize the parable first. It's the story about the unforgiving servant. A servant who was forgiven by the master for a small little debt. Later on, by a great debt, there's a huge debt that he owed, and the master forgave him. The creditor forgave the debtor. Then later, this servant had another servant who owes him something, a small little debt, and he wanted to put this other servant to jail. The master found out and dealt harshly with the first servant, because the first servant did not understand mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. But in this parable, there was a play on Greek words. There was a play on the word Elio and the word sprachna. And I bring it forth to you. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. In other words, sprachna. The entire word move with compassion expresses one word, sprachna. So there's an internal movement. And in order to define it clearer for people to understand it, I would call it this way to illustrate. The body has feelings. The mind has consciousness. The spirit has sprachna. So that you could identify what we're talking about. The mind has consciousness. As long as your mind operates, your mind is conscious. The consciousness of your mind is the essence of your mind. If your mind were unconscious, you would be in a coma. So the mind has consciousness, the body has feelings. If your body don't have feelings, your body will be paralyzed. Feelings is the expression of the health of your body, or the norm of your body, normal functioning of your body. The body has feelings, the mind has consciousness, the spirit has sprachna. Sprachna is an attribute of the human spirit and God's spirit. It's not an attribute of the human soul or the human body. That's why it's something deep from the spirit. It's a spiritual feeling, so you can put it this way. So the master, when he saw the servant with so much debt, in Matthew 18, verse 27, the master of the servant was moved with compassion, sprachna, and released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." And the fellow servant begged for mercy, in verse 29, and verse 30, he would not, and he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Then the other fellow servant saw and reported to the master. Verse 22, the master called the first servant and said, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgive you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? Now verse 33, it says, should you also not have had compassion? Now the second word compassion in the English is also translated compassion. It's not the same word compassion as verse 27. The first word compassion is plakna. The second word in the same parable, compassion, in verse 33 is elio, which should be translated as kindness or mercy. In other words, the master was coming down to his level. The master was saying, the master himself had the highest form. The master had splakna. Of course, the master represents Jesus here and God. He had splakna. He was able to move in a higher realm of compassion. When his servant did not move in mercy, he says, would you not have elio, in a sense, even elio, which is a lower form of mercy? Not as great and deep, but it's the mercy that we call kindness. Slightly less. And pity this person. It is the same kind of play on Greek words like we would have in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was speaking to the Apostle Peter and said, Peter, do you agapao me? Peter says, I phileo you. Then he asked, do you agapao me? And Peter says, I phileo you. Then Jesus came down to his level and said, do you phileo me? And Peter says, I phileo you. See, there was a play on Greek words in the Gospel of John. So here also there is a change in Greek word on the use of the word compassion, and that gives us an understanding of the relationship. The elio is in a different sense from splakna. The true word for real mercy is actually splakna, which is translated in Colossians 3:12 as tender mercy. You see, it is more than ordinary mercy. They have to qualify and call it tender mercy. So there are different attributes in mercy. Different attributes. Because we have sympatio, elio, and splakna. And as you look at those facts there, and then you come over back to the book of Jonah with that understanding, we realize here that what God showed the Ninevites was splakna and compassion. God showed splakna and compassion. You see, mercy is the highest demonstrations of God. That is why in the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle that Moses built, and the most holiest of all the furniture, the ark, between the wings of the cherubim, the title of the place is Mercy Seat. And you know what is the name of God's chair up in the throne? It's called the Throne of Grace. See, our new word grace now expresses the splakna and mercy too. In fact, all the laws of God, which is what Jonah didn't understand, we're talking now in Jonah 4, Jonah didn't understand. Jonah was like a real human being who only understood the law of destruction and people deserving what they deserve. People receiving what they deserve. So in Jonah's mind, Jonah was thinking, surely these Assyrians deserve it. And his thinking, his theology, his understanding, his mind was trained by the principle that those who do evil must get back evil, which is a real principle. It's a principle of truth. But behind that principle is mercy. Do you know that all the Ten Commandments, the highest principle behind it is mercy and love? It is not just a commandment. Why did God say, thou shalt not murder? Why did God say thou shalt not covet? Why did God say thou shalt not commit adultery? Because when you do so, you are hurting somebody else. That is why Paul said in the book of Romans, he tells us in Romans, chapter 13, verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The purpose of the law is that we will have mercy on one another. Can you see that? See, the purpose of all the commandments is that we learn to have mercy. We learn to give room for one another. We learn to give place for one another. We learn to show love and mercy to one another. All Jonah could think of was the law. He forgot behind the law and the fulfillment and establishment of the law was that we would grow to be merciful. Look at Exodus 20, which is where we get the Ten Commandments. And look at the whole basis. Exodus chapter 20. We all know that the Ten Commandments are listed in chapter 20 of Exodus. But do you know that the essence of the Ten Commandments is also listed there? The purpose why he gave those commandments is that in verse 6 he says, showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now you see that? God says, the reason why I give these commandments is so that when you keep them, I can give you more mercy. Keeping the commandments brings us into the position of mercy, to receive His mercy. For those who forsake truth and go to worthless idols, forsake their own mercy. Those who turn to worthless idols, forsake, remove, are cut off from mercy. The end of all commandments, the fulfillment of all commandments, is not just righteousness, but is that you may receive His mercy. And the purpose of those commandments is that we will be able to relate with our fellow man with mercy. That is why Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, as he speaks in chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he tells us something that looks impossible. Therefore, now when Jesus gives a conclusion, therefore, we have to pay attention. He says, therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I mean, Jesus gave us a command and said, be perfect. Have any early father look at the children and say, be perfect? Never, we only say, believe. But Jesus is saying, be perfect. And we all struggle to be perfect. No one can claim perfection. But the revelation is in Luke 6. And he explains what the perfection is as he mentions the Sermon on the Mount, but in a different manner and possibly a different place again in verse 36. He says, therefore, be merciful. Everybody say merciful. It says, be merciful as just as your Father is merciful. So the perfection we require of us is not necessarily perfection of works, which seems to be impossible on this earth in that sense.